I'm a sassy black woman. I don't need no man.
Geek Dudes Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Geek Juice Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is going to be, yes, a special episode, but not that kind of special. We'll be playing not everybody's favorite game, but certainly my favorite game. It is top 10 list time. We haven't done this for a while. What we're going to do tonight is Jowski has handpicked a number of top 10 lists. He will reveal the topic. We will all make our picks. Score will be kept based on how close our picks are to the top. It's a fairly simple game. It's really easy to do when you're high.
You guys haven't done one of these in a long time either. This is old Geek Juice.
Yeah, no. Because it's like a lazy, I can't think of a topic, let's do top 10 list. But this time we're doing it intentionally, Charlie. Specifically
because Charlie
requested
was,
it.
Yeah, Charlie was waxing nostalgic about our top 10 list last week, and so we decided to go ahead and do one this week.
Yeah, why not? We haven't done it since the summer, maybe.
Yeah, it's been a long time, so I think it's okay to bring this one out of the vault.
So we're going to start here, right in, with the top 10 film franchises that stopped at one movie.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, for those of you who have not listened to the show and cannot tell our voices apart, I'm Charlie.
Oh, I'm Alex Jowski.
I'm Kevin Daly, and everybody panic.
Jowski panics, in joke, people. And I'm Josh Hadley.
So nobody's going to stay calm.
I'm panicking already because I jumped the gun on starting the lists.
Don't act like that's the first time you've jumped the gun.
I'm sure your daughter is evidence of you jumping the gun before.
So movie franchises that should have continued but stopped at one movie?
They had one movie, but and then that was it.
Now, do we go with what one we wish had more movies or what one we think will be number one?
That's up to you. If you think you have a good idea of what could be number one, even though it's not your personal pick, then go with that.
Because I know what one I would pick for what one I wish got more movies and was supposed to have, but there's no way it's probably even going to be on the list.
You'd be surprised at some stuff that shows up on these lists, but what is it, Josh?
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
It's true. There was really only just one adventure.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was intended as a franchise character. They had already written some of the sequels.
Yeah, Buckaroo Banzai only had one adventure, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, but technically that kind of, sort of, almost maybe got continued in Big Trouble in Little China. They are set in the same universe, so the kind of, sort of, almost maybe sequel is Big Trouble.
Yeah, but only a handful of nerds know that, though.
Yeah.
Wasn't it our responsibility to let more nerds know?
Yeah. I mean, that's
our job.
All right,
yeah,
well, I'm making my pick for Ford Fairlane, even though I know I lose.
I'm going to go with the Simpsons movie. I'm shocked there's not been another one.
Do I pick one that I think will be higher on the list, or do I think one that I want? I'm going to pick one that I want, because screw all of you. I liked the Super Mario Brothers movie, and I wanted it a sequel.
They set it up, too, Kevin.
I know. Well, when I was a kid, when I saw it, it was 93, so I was 10 years old. I wanted a sequel. I wanted to see more of it. I was excited for the setup at the end, and it never came. Here it is, 19 years later. And I still do not have my Super Mario Brothers sequel. I never will have it. I'm disappointed. So that's why I'm picking it.
Monkey!
I miss Dennis Hopper.
Who would you cast as Koopa if they did make another one? Because Dennis Hopper's gone.
Nicholas I'm glad Cage, you asked, Charlie.
I mean, is this even up for debate? Nicolas Cage?
Jowski and I were discussing a Guy Ritchie-directed Super Mario Brothers movie, and I totally wanted Dennis Farina as King Koopa.
Yes, he was telling me about that.
I kind of see that. I can.
Yeah, and we had Robert Downey and Jude Law as Mario and Luigi. Gerard Butler as Wario.
I'd be all for that.
RuPaul as the princess.
That would be fun.
All right, so the list of the top 10 film franchises that stopped at one movie. Number 10 is V.I. Warshawski.
Was that ever even intended to be more? I don't even remember that ending on a cliffhanger or leaving anything open.
It's based off of a whole series of detective novels. The movie was only one of several novels.
Yeah, that's true. It didn't necessarily leave the door open for a sequel, but there could have been.
Next would be Van Helsing.
Yeah, too bad
they made
it
somehow less boring.
Yes.
That was my problem with that movie. It was boring.
Well, it's because this one had Dracula, Frankenstein, and the f***ing Wolfman. They didn't save anybody for the sequel.
Well, you'll find a lot on this list that they stopped at one because it sucked.
Yeah.
Well, good. Then maybe my Super Mario Brothers will be on the list.
Next is The A-Team, the remake movie.
I heard mixed things about that. Some people really liked it.
I thought I was going to hate it a lot, but I actually sat down and watched it once it came on HBO, and it wasn't good, I want to say that, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
So it was like getting stabbed instead of shot?
Yeah. Kind of. In the leg.
Next would be Cobra.
Marion Cobretti, yes.
The Stallone movie?
The original Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, that would have worked. That was one of my favorite movie cars of all time.
No, I'm not kidding about the Beverly Hills Cop thing, though. Back when Stallone was cast in Beverly Hills Cop, when he left the project, he took all his ideas and made them into Cobra. He even wanted his character to be named Marion Cobretti in Beverly Hills Cop.
Hmm. I did not know that.
Next is Elf.
Elf Let's doesn't see. Need a sequel. I mean, it was a fun movie.
They were going to make
you
it.
Where do you go with a sequel with Elf?
Yeah, there's no other holidays that would have worked for.
You know what, Kevin? I'd agree with you, except I'm going to call you out. The Santa Claus has three movies.
Yeah.
Your logic is faulty.
It has
I guess
three
you can
many.
Always stretch a Christmas movie into other Christmas movies.
No, what about Buddy the Elf with a bunch of leprechauns for a St. Patrick's Day movie?
Oh, so basically The Hangover 3.
Pretty much.
Do they all beat him up like Peter Dinklage does in Elf?
That would have been awesome.
And they throw potatoes at him.
Because they're Irish.
I'm racist.
So next is actually Beetlejuice. And I think this is the third podcast in a row where I've talked about Beetlejuice Goes Hawaii.
Yep.
I like Beetlejuice. I don't know if I'd want a sequel.
Must we go tropical?
But no, I'm gonna call Jowski out on this one. That one technically does not fit on this list. You said film franchises that stopped at one. Technically, there was not another film. There was the animated series for Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, there was.
So technically that doesn't fit because it did continue his adventures.
I did like the animated series.
I like the animated series too. I used to watch it all the time. I don't know if I've considered that a continuation though, because they didn't, apart from Lydia, they didn't mention any of the Dietzes ever again. Like it didn't continue the movie story. Like it didn't show Delia continuing with her sculptures of Beetlejuice.
But you kind of had to see the movie to get the premise of the show, more or less.
Try explaining that to a kid who just wants to see weird cartoons.
That doesn't fit Jowski's list, because that did continue. It just wasn't a movie.
It has to suck in to fit, but it fits.
I had a huge crush on animated Lydia as a kid.
More so than Winona Ryder.
Speaking of weird cartoons, next on this list is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Does not need a sequel.
No, it doesn't. I gotta agree with Kevin on this. That does not need a sequel. It was a standalone, and it's got two holidays right there. So you don't. What are you gonna have him finding Thanksgiving Town?
I mean, they have all those towns for different holidays, but do we need to see them all? Not really.
No, that's what Tim Burton said when he walked off the idea of a sequel.
I don't know, man. Jack Skellington in Arbor Day Land. I would have watched that.
Next is The Golden Compass.
Well, it was the first part of a book trilogy, so yes, I agree with that one.
There's rumors, though, that they're going to make another one of those still.
So far, none of us are on this list.
No. Number two is Willow.
You know, I've never seen Willow, and that's a weird thing for me not to have seen.
Oh,
but
you should. I like that. I like that movie.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Willow.
Yeah, it's... It's.
Gotcha.
It's not horrible, but it's also not good, so it just is.
It falls apart in the last act.
Well, here's the thing. As the fantasy nerd of the group, those movies tend to get bonus points just for being genre, which is probably why I can sit through, I don't know, Lady Hawk, which I think is god-awful.
It sure is.
Lady Hawk... I wish I could fight you. I really wanted to, but I can't.
No, you cannot put a happy face on that.
I was going to try, but it didn't work.
I think if I wasn't a huge fantasy nerd, I think I would have turned off and returned my tape VHS copy of Lady Hawk.
Oh, as
you,
I
you
did.
Didn't love the, you didn't love the synth 80s soundtrack to a medieval movie?
Well, ironically, maybe.
You hipster douche.
So number one on this list, I thought somebody would pick, especially Josh. I thought this would have been Josh's pick. Dune.
Ah.
David Lynch's Dune.
Lynch's Children of Dune.
Dune was a goddamn disaster. I liked the movie, but it was a goddamn disaster, Alex.
Dino De Laurentiis went into the project expecting to make a franchise, and he's like, we're going to have toys and everything, and then Lynch made his movie, and he's like, I guess we just get the one.
Mistake,
not like that.
He wanted a franchise with toys, was hiring David Lynch.
They didn't make toys. They made Dune toys. I owned them. I bought them from Toys R Us.
They do. What, they did make Dune toys?
Yeah, they made Dune toys, man, Dingleberry. Awesome.
I guess the only kid that would play with those is you, Josh.
I bought them. I owned them.
So I'll play with them if I want to.
Yeah, you
got it. I mean, that movie, but...
I just sent you guys the Google image search link to it. Yeah, they had a whole line of action figures. They looked and played like crap, but they had them.
I want that Baron Harkonnen toy.
Yes, I was just going to say, I want that Baron Harkonnen toy. Holy crap.
Yeah, look these things up on eBay. They ain't cheap. Let's put it that way. These things are not cheap, man.
That Baron Harkonnen toy is like a pear with limbs and a head.
They even have the cat you have to milk.
Oh, my lord.
Oh, the sandworm.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my thing with Dune, because I like the movie, but that's only because I could follow it because I had read the book. I knew what was going on because I knew the story. When I saw it the first time, I hadn't read the book, and I couldn't follow a damn thing.
I'm with you on that, and I've never read the entire book, but I had somebody fill me in on what was going on, and the movie makes a lot more sense now.
You know what's going on, the movie's pretty good.
The first time I watched it with a fan that kept pausing the video to explain, because he'd read the books.
Fear is the mind killer.
Are you the Quizzax Haderach?
He is the Quizzax Haderach!
Long live the fighters! And I don't know why, but my God, was his mom hot in that.
So next, on a similar topic, the next list is the top 10 movies that are better than the book.
Movies that are better than the book. Okay.
I'm going to go with one. I doubt it's going to be on the list, though. First Blood. I prefer the movie version of John Rambo, and I think the suicide ending in the book is, frankly, a cop-out.
Okay, I'm still trying to think. Movies that were better than the book, because there's a bunch of coming at me all at once. I'm going to go with The Time to Kill.
That's a good choice.
That was a really, really good movie. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson was brilliant in that.
And I hate to say it, so was Matthew McConaughey. Oh, God, I feel dirty, man.
I'd be hard-pressed to say I feel clean, but yeah, I mean, he was really good. This was his first major role.
It's one of his most notable roles with a shirt on.
That closing speech in the courtroom?
Yep.
You're heartless if you as a viewer don't cry at the end of that goddamn thing.
All right, and Kevin?
Grapes of Wrath. I like the book fine. I could do without the turtle chapters. Guess what wasn't in the movie? Grapes of Wrath wins.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that one because I hate the Hollywood ending they gave the movie. I like the dark, depressing, just grim ending that the book had.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at the era.
Yeah.
I forgive it because of the era, but I thought the weakness was those overly symbolic turtle chapters in the book, and those weren't in the movie, so...
But I'm all lit nerd. I totally ate that turtle stuff up.
Well,
you would. You like the Black Freighter crap in Watchmen, too.
I always wanted to open up a French breakfast place called the Crepes of Wrath.
Now, am I able to put an honorable mention on here, too? And I believe it was either an HBO original or a Showtime original movie of Inherit the Wind, the one with Beau Bridges.
I remember that.
Okay, that it was Showtime original. As much as I love the source material, the performances in that movie by George C. Scott and Beau Bridges and Jack Lemmon and that, they just make that source material pop so well that it's even better than the way you imagine it in your head when you're reading that play.
I was going to select Fellowship of the Ring also, but I didn't want to offend all of the Tolkien nerds out there, but Tolkien's writing is god-awful boring.
It is. It is boring.
Plenty of Tolkien nerds out there.
Sorry, Tolkien nerds. I'm just not with you on Tolkien.
So yep. Into the list. Number 10 is L.A. Confidential.
Oh, yes, yeah. The book is meandering, and they don't take the characters. It's kind of like what we talked about with Dexter before, Alex. I much yes. prefer the movie versions of Bud White and Ed Exley than I do their book counterparts.
From what you've told me of the Dexter books, I don't want to read those.
I think the L.A. Confidential book suffers so much because it's not really written in a noir kind of style.
Yeah.
It's just written like a regular ass novel, and it was a missed opportunity, is what I'm saying.
Next would be Stand By Me, based on Stephen King's The Body.
I've read the original story. I don't even remember it.
Here's one that
I'm gonna rage about it on the list.
Here's one that Josh informed me was actually based off of a book the other day. Die Hard, based off of Nothing Lasts Forever.
Get the hell out of here.
Jowski didn't know it was based on a series of books. The character in the books is not John McClane. He's got a different name, but he's had like 9 or 10 books.
I had no idea. Antics?
His name is John Leland.
Well, do you want to hear something messed up then, Charlie? Did you know that Die Hard is technically a sequel?
Yeah.
It's a sequel to the 1960 Frank Sinatra movie, The Detective, where he played the same character that is John McClane. So technically, John McClane is the older version of Frank Sinatra's 1960s detective character.
So Frank Sinatra played John McClane.
Before John McClane was John McClane, yes.
I don't know what's real anymore. I need a minute to get my head together, guys.
Even if you were sober, you wouldn't be able to comprehend that, huh?
Oh, thank God I'm not.
Number 7 is Silence of the Lambs.
That was based on a book. That's right.
Yeah, it was.
I've read Hannibal. I've never read Silence. So I don't know if that's any better or worse than the movie. Hannibal is... The book is terrible, and I'm one of the few people that think the movie was actually better.
I'm with you.
Number 6 is The Shining, but only Kubrick's The Shining.
Not the miniseries they did with Steven Weber.
Yeah, not the miniseries, just Kubrick's.
Except Kubrick changed everything.
Yeah, Kubrick made his own movie.
It wasn't even...
Yeah, there was no hedge maze in the book. Nothing.
I also believe there was a point where Stephen King tried to have his name removed from the Kubrick version. Because it was like nothing left of his book in that movie.
Yeah, I think you're right.
A lot of Stephen King on this list. I'm telling you, I already know what number 1's going to be.
Number 5 is Jaws.
That was a book?
Huh.
The
book is not... I mean, the book was good if you haven't seen the movie. But, remember in the movie, Kevin, how the mayor never wants to close the beaches? Huge subplot that takes up not a large portion of the book, but quite a bit of the book. Because the mayor has construction contracts with the mob. And if the beaches are closed, then the mob is going to kill him. And the mob starts strong-arming Brody at one point, and they even snap his cat's neck in front of him to make their point that they are not to be f***ed with. The mob plays a large role in Jaws in the book. That was all cut out of the movie, and the movie is better off for it.
God damn, I didn't know that.
It sounds like something Glad left to be left out of the movie.
That would have been a whole different movie.
Number 4 is The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, it's not number 1, but it's crap. The book is better. Sorry. The ending of the movie is awful.
Okay, I am not going to sit here and listen to you disparage The Shank.
The movie is so much worse than the short story it's based off of. It's not even funny.
I like the movie, but I've never read the story.
The movie is called Hope Springs Eternal. The book is called Hope Springs Eternal.
Well, it's Hope Springs Eternal is the chapter of the different seasons. The story itself is Rita Hayworth.
Right. Rita Hayworth.
The important part of it is the end of the movie, the end of the book is Red hoping he can find Andy Dufresne. Hoping! That's key to the story.
Yeah, guess hope what? Is the big
he
theme.
He finds him in the movie! That's the problem! It ruins the whole theme of the story!
Brooks was here.
That made me so mad because I read the story before I saw the movie.
Yeah, Brooks is about to be here.
So mad that they ruined the ending. Because the fact of the matter is it's well acted and it's well shot, and then they ruined the ending, which completely turned me off of the movie.
Oh, and then the fact that TNT shows it every weekend ever.
Oh, well, yeah, that too.
AMC has been showing it like back to back, like twice a week.
I wonder if all cut up. I've never bothered to watch it on any of those channels. Do the sisters even rape him, or does it look like they're just mildly annoying Andy Dufresne at various points?
They never show it in the movie. They mention it. It's much more obvious in the short story, and also it's mentioned very clearly that Red has also been raped by the sisters at some point.
Never forget the way poor Andy carried that pillow around after that.
This whole part in the story where he talks about, you just kind of have to wad up some toilet paper, put it in there. Not even joking. There's a whole good two or three paragraphs where he talks about.
That's why I can't eat pudding anymore. It just goes right through me.
Are you going to eat that maggot?
Number three is the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Kevin, there you got your honorable mention.
Good. Well, that was my honorable mention. I'm glad somebody agrees with me that the books are not that great.
I should have played the odds on this one. I don't think there's a lot of John Grisham readers out there that post top 10 lists like this.
Number two is The Princess Bride.
That is a book, technically.
I've never read the story, so I don't know. I don't know if that really is better or worse.
Well, apparently it'd be pretty accurate because William Goldman wrote the book and the screenplay.
Yes. Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. The guy that wrote the Wing Commander video games wrote and directed the Wing Commander movie.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can write for one format, not the other.
And number one is actually Forrest Gump.
Yes,
that was
a book.
I never read Forrest.
There was a sequel to it, too.
Gump and Company, which I've read Gump and Company, but I never actually read Forrest Gump.
I've actually heard from a lot of people that the book was way better.
Well, all I needed to know about the book was somebody saying, do you know in the book he goes to space, too? And I'm like, I'll just stick with the movie.
I don't even like the movie.
Oh, I do.
No, the movie's awful.
I'm sorry. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel bad for Jenny when she rapes a mentally ill man, then comes back and dumps all her problems and her kid on this man that's not mentally capable to handle himself, let alone another person. And we're supposed to feel sympathetic for this cunt? No.
I didn't really feel sympathetic for her, but I felt bad for him.
Yeah, really, when you think about it, I Am Sam is a sequel to Forrest Gump.
You never go full retard.
Kevin, that's a very good choice.
make me happy.
These head movies make my eyes rain.
There goes our mentally disabled audience. And considering how we conduct this show, that's probably the whole audience.
No, they won't remember tomorrow.
So the next list, I'm hoping we can get more than an honorable mention out of it. Top 10 great cheesy action movies of the 90s.
Okay, now we're talking.
90s, though, so that's a little bit, I don't know. The 80s stuff, yeah. I'm more into the 80s cheesy action flicks than the 90s stuff.
Cheesy action movies of the 90s? I'm going with Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I'm going to go with, again, I'm going with the dark horse in this that I don't think will make the list, Double Team.
Oh, good choice.
Van Damme and Rodman.
How do you love that.
And a really young Dane Cook with monks that are computer hackers. That's freaking cheesy, Kevin.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a winner. God,
I'm going Double Team.
That's a good choice.
Forrest Gump.
Says Forrest Gump.
Let's go Shawshank on this.
Oh, God. I don't even... I had to see a list of 90s action movies before I can decide.
Well, I'm about to give you a list.
Pulp Fiction.
Predator 2 is not really cheesy, even if it is 90s.
Yeah, we're going cheesy here. You'd be surprised at how much cheese is on this list.
Under Siege 2. Go Under Siege 2, Kevin. Go anything Seagal.
I was trying to think of a good Seagal. Yeah, I'll do Under Siege 2.
I would like to qualify my pick though as
I'm changing it all. My favorite cheesy action movie of the 90s, Escape from LA.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Nice pick.
Good favorite pick. Probably one of my favorite movies from the 90s in general.
Oh yeah.
So are we ready?
Yes, campy as hell. Love that movie.
Love the ending.
He's entered the world code. No target code. Sir, that'll shut down the entire planet.
I told you'd better hope I didn't make it back.
You push that button,
Everything we've accomplished for the past 500 years will be finished. Our technology, our way of life, our entire history. We'll have to start all over again. For God's sake, don't do it, Snake!
My name's Plissken.
My favorite ending of any movie ever, actually.
God, it was great.
Well, and you know what the funny thing is, Kevin? And I don't know what it was supposed to be. That was the alternate ending. That's not the ending that Carpenter originally shot. He was pissed when they made him reshoot the ending, and so he gave him that instead. I'm wondering just what he actually did the first time.
That guy is just the king of accidental genius, isn't he?
I think that's his whole career, accidental genius.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'll take it. Whatever happened to create that ending, I'll take it.
All right, number 10 is Armageddon.
Yeah,
I like Armageddon a lot, and not for the reasons I should. I own the Criterion Collection DVD of it.
Okay, I'm going to assume not for the reasons you should, because there is no reason to like Armageddon.
Yeah,
there are moments in Armageddon that are entertaining.
I think the cheesiness is the Liv Tyler saying, baby, do you think it's possible that anyone else in the world is doing this very same thing at this very moment?
No.
Otherwise, what the hell are we trying to save?
You can out-cheese that. Ben Affleck. I love you!
Boy and girl's father don't get along. Boy and girl's father put aside their differences to detonate a bomb on an asteroid. Boy comes back, father doesn't. They kiss to actual girl's father song.
To be fair, Armageddon has two huge things going for it. Steve Buscemi and Peter Stormare.
Yeah. We like Steve Buscemi in that movie.
They are both goddamn awesome in that movie.
Yeah, they are. You didn't give all your money to a stripper named Missy the Mouth.
Oh, man. Now I'm thinking of, like, Michael Bay movies from the 90s. Bad Boys. That's good.
On a similar note, number 9.
The Rock, Con Air. Con Air is not Michael Bay, but might as well have been.
Number 9 is Broken Arrow.
Oh, I liked Broken Arrow.
Christian Slater, good. John Travolta and Samantha Mathis, bad.
Howie Long, why?
I liked Howie Long in it.
And John Travolta stays on this list with number 8, Battlefield Earth.
John Travolta is going to pop up a number of times on this list.
I can't even watch it ironically, so I can't agree with Battlefield Earth.
Kevin, what you have to do is tilt your head the opposite direction of the screen, and everything settles quite nicely.
Those Dutch angles suddenly make sense.
Yeah.
Number 7 is Demolition Man.
Ooh.
Yeah,
that's a good one, yeah.
That wasn't bad. I wonder if I can play the accordion.
The best part of that movie, when Stallone's eating the hamburger, do you see any cows around here?
Yeah.
He's kind of shrugs like, whatever.
Number 6 is Days of Thunder.
That was 90s?
1990. The stock car movie?
Yeah. I was thinking it was like right after Top Gun, so it was like late 80s, man.
I remember that movie was the most advertising Mellow Yellow ever got.
Number 5 is Dragonheart.
Sean Connery is the voice of a dragon.
Dragonheart. My wife loves Dragonheart.
Must be a wife thing. My wife yells from the back, I love that movie.
It's not cheesy.
My wife even bought the sequel. The one with Francis from Malcolm in the Middle in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Number 4 is Con Air.
That's not what your mother said last night.
Trebek.
My wife, ladies and gentlemen.
Con Air, I actually really like Con Air. It was...
See, okay.
Charlie,
I love Nicolas Cage. Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, and John Malkovich. Their characters were so awesome. They were just in the wrong movie.
That's exactly why I liked it.
Well, and you had the obviously gay convict that's like, ooh, I'm surrounded by men in uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
Flying from a plane wreck.
Like he wants them to run a train on him right there before they arrest him.
And there's a note written on a dead Dave Chappelle that gets thrown onto a moving car.
And Chief O'Brien from Deep Space Nine is the biggest prick FBI agent ever.
Yeah, you got Colm Meaney as a prick FBI agent. You got
I love Colm Meaney.
You got, like, MC Gainey as the convict that can fly the plane.
Swamp Thing. His name was Swamp Thing.
Exactly. That was a cool movie. I mean, it's not going to win any awards. It's not a great movie, but
it was
cool.
That's a fun, cheesy action movie. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The worst thing about that movie was the tie-in song and music video. Remember that?
Sweet Home Alabama?
Not Sweet Home Alabama. The love one where he's like beating up the guy outside the bar. And...
That was the Pretenders. Yeah, I remember that. I played that at a lot of weddings in my day.
Yeah, that song just, ugh.
I'll stand by you.
Yeah, that. It just, and that video was like a VH1 staple when that came out.
It really was.
Number three is The Chase.
Henry Rollins as a cop. Come on.
Yeah. Not
as cheesy. Deliciously cheesy.
Yeah, very much so. There's a lot to like about that movie too. I hadn't seen that for a long time. That's a lot like Con Air. I mean, what makes the movie is the supporting cast.
Yeah, because any movie that stars Christy Swanson, you're not in it for the main cast.
Exactly, and Charlie Sheen.
Number two is Point Blank.
Point Blank?
Point Break, rather.
Point Break. Okay, Point Break. I love Point Break.
I was gonna say you better mean Point Break.
Did you guys know that Cameron wrote that?
No.
Cameron Crowe?
James Cameron.
Oh, okay. I can believe that.
James Cameron wrote that and his second ex-wife directed it.
You ever fired a gun up at
him? Yeah, I know Catherine Bigelow directed it.
I am an FBI agent!
Classic.
Where he can't pull the trigger and he's just, ah!
They parody
because he loves him so much. Exactly. You ever fired your gun up in the air and gone, ah?
Did you guys recognize the actor that played Rosie in that? The one that didn't surf? The one with the beard and all that?
Anthony Kiedis was in there somewhere.
No, he was a thug otherwise. It was Lee Turgeson from Oz. Beecher from Oz played Rosie in that. He's completely unrecognizable. And yeah, Anthony Kiedis or... really young Tom Sizemore as that undercover FBI agent.
So this one would have been my pick for number one because this movie is unnecessarily just over the top cheesy for so many reasons. Face Off.
I do not like Face Off.
It's just a terrible movie.
Well, you've got two of the cheesiest actors and they're doing somersaults during a gunfight while doves are flying around. And
That is a lot of Travolta on this list. Not gonna lie.
But that Face Off.
There was a lot of Nick Cage on here too. He was on here three times.
But Face Off does have Joe Bob Briggs, so that's a point in its favor.
As a doctor.
Yeah, but Joe Bob Briggs is in that, so that's a point in its favor.
All right. So next we've got the 10 organ-based Deep Purple songs from the John Lord era.
Dibs on.
I'm joking.
Okay, I was gonna say dibs on Smoke in the Water.
You suck.
What was the category? Sorry, my brain.
Kevin zoned out.
I zoned out after the fact that Escape from L.A. was not on the list.
The top 10 film directors of the 80s? How's that one?
Top 10 film directors of the 80s, my pick, John Hughes.
I'm torn. I want to go with Joe Dante, but I also want to go with Terry Gilliam.
Think it over. Don't rush into it.
Think it over.
Well, I'm going to let Kevin answer while I'm thinking.
How about Josh? Is it John McTiernan? Die Hard, Predator?
John McTiernan, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna do like in Vegas, and I'm gonna split Joe Dante and Terry Gilliam, but I only get half a point if I'm right for either one.
But hedging the bet.
I'm gonna split.
All right, so number 10 is Spike Lee. He was big in the 80s.
Yeah, he was big in the 80s.
Number 9 is Terry Gilliam.
Ah, good half a point.
Number 8 is David Lynch.
I almost picked Lynch. I probably should have.
Number 7 is Woody Allen.
Yeah. That was
not
just
really a big Woody Allen.
Was just a period in which he didn't die. I mean, because he was big in the 70s and he just kept going.
I was
going
to say Woody Allen, if you'd said 70s, I'll give that to you. 80s? I can't think of one good movie he made in the 80s.
Purple Rose of Cairo.
You're a Woody Allen fanboy, aren't you?
Hannah and Her Sisters is my favorite one of his, and I like that one was in the 80s.
The only movies of Woody Allen's I really liked were Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask and Sleeper.
Oh, the old stuff.
Yeah.
Number 6 is Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah. He had between all three Back to the Future movies and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, he did very well.
Yeah, tossing Romancing the Stone.
I only think of Robert Zemeckis as the guy who does those awful Uncanny Valley films now.
But weren't the Back to the Future sequels 90s?
I think they were like 91.
Actually, yeah. Only
two was
89
and three was 90. So okay. The first two. 80, his 80s films are Used Cars, Romancing the Stone, Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Back to the Future 2.
Number five is Barry Levinson.
No, nothing leaps to mind.
Good Morning Vietnam, Diner, Rain Man.
Oh, Diner.
Never been to Good Movie yet, though.
Hey, Diner was a good movie.
No, I can't give you that one, Charlie. I can't.
Number four, I will agree with number four here, James Cameron.
Because
Terminator, Aliens.
Yeah, he was rocking in the 80s. Don't forget The Abyss in 89.
Abyss, director's cut only. Terminator, yeah. Terminator 2, even though it's 91, director's cut only. Aliens, 86, director's cut only.
Yeah.
You noticing a theme cut here?
Yeah, that he was better than the producers.
Yeah, the director's cut for Aliens is almost a necessity for the setup in a lot of those scenes.
Well, and see, like whenever I watch any of those three movies, like on TV or the theatrical cuts, as weird as this sounds, all I see are the missing scenes. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That's all I see when I watch a movie that's been cut up.
Well, and like I said, with Aliens, at least, I know the missing scenes are so important, like the family that discovers the alien eggs on that ship there. I can't remember what the name of that ship is. It doesn't even have a name, does it? The space jockey ship.
The Derelict is what it's called. And the family is Newt's family, the Jordans.
Yeah, it's so important to set up the rest of the movie because they're the reasons the aliens come out and they're Newt's family. But
you got to remember, Burke sent them there. So it is still all Burke's fault.
Well, everything in that movie is Burke's fault. Paul Reiser is the biggest ass on the planet. I love that movie.
Number three is a rather odd choice for this list. It's Peter Weir.
Dead Poets Society. What else in the 80s?
Witness.
The Year of Living Dangerously. Was that 80s or was that
70s? That was 80s.
Okay.
Mosquito Coast.
I mean, they're not necessarily bad movies, but they're not really recognizable to your average Joe Schlub on the street movies, are they?
Witness
Dead Poets
is good,
Society
though.
And Truman Show are the only ones I'm really familiar with. Master and Commander a little bit.
Number two is Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone's best stuff. Not counting Natural Born Killers, which was 90s. All his best stuff was 80s, yeah.
Platoon, Born on the 4th of July, Wall Street.
Born on the 4th of July sucks.
It has its moments, most of them having to do with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, anything involving Tom Cruise, no.
I mean, watching Willem Dafoe in a wheelchair have sex with a prostitute is something unique.
Talk radio?
Or laying in a hammock shitting himself.
Yeah.
Well, if you did that in a hammock, it would come out the other side all weird.
It would, like, filter it, kind of.
Yeah, it would.
Alexander is the Oliver Stone film that makes me laugh the most. Best comedy he ever directed.
Number one is Steven Spielberg. Oh,
okay, yeah. So John Hughes was nowhere on this list.
No. And okay. John Hughes did, like, all of his directing in the 80s.
Yeah, I discredit this entire list.
I can't think of offhand a 90s movie that John Hughes did.
Home Alone 2 and 3? Baby's Day Out, he directed that.
Oh God, no.
Yeah,
no.
I just brought up some childhood repressed memories from Jowski, I think.
Baby's Day.
He wrote Beethoven.
Yep, and Flubber. Dennis the Menace, I believe, with Christopher
Lee. Dennis the Menace, Flubber, Home Alone 3, he wrote the script for that.
So we got time for one more list. I'll let you guys pick which one you want. Do you want the top 10 portrayals of Batman, the top 10 worst TV to movie adaptations, or the top 10 overrated filmmakers?
I think I know what Josh wants.
I think overrated filmmakers will get us the most crap, so that'd be the most fun, I think.
That's what I thought you'd want, Josh. Let's do that one.
Well, that's already two votes. So, Charlie, whichever one you're going to pick, you're outvoted.
You lose. Yeah.
No, I would have picked that one as well.
All right, well, what are your picks for the what's on the list?
Okay, top 10 overrated filmmakers. Yeah, I'm actually going to go with Oliver Stone on this.
I'm actually going to go Steven Spielberg.
Oh, you took my Spielberg.
You guys are going with the last list's top picks.
No, I believe Kevin and I would have both picked Spielberg because he is.
Yeah. Because I just saw Lincoln, and I'm watching this movie and going, the acting is great. The direction is workman-like at best.
workmanlike.
I mean, all you got to look at is War of the Worlds. And if anyone's name other than Spielberg was attached to that movie, that would have been savaged by the critics. But, oh, it was genius and it was brilliant because it was Spielberg. And like Schindler's List, I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but holy over goddamn rated.
Again, workmanlike direction.
So who are you going to go with then, Kevin?
Should I take the easy? I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going George Lucas.
Okay. I actually thought that's where I thought you were going, Kevin.
Well, since you took Spielberg for me, I had to go with his best friend.
Number 10.
His best friend was money.
Well, his other best friend other than money. And George has plenty of money as well. They're like, it's like a threesome.
Number 10 is M. Night Shyamalan.
I can totally see that.
He is to movies what Michael Vick is to dogs.
Well, I don't follow the analogy. Like, was Michael Vick really nice to like two dogs and then a horrible beast to the rest of them?
I'm going to think, Kevin, you're going to go with Sixth Sense and Signs.
I like Unbreakable and Sixth Sense.
I hated Unbreakable, but I loved Signs.
Signs does have its moments.
I like the visuals of the village and the mood for the first half of the movie, and then the ending ruins it, but yeah.
But then once Adrian Brody shows up and goes full retard.
I say to bloody hell with Signs. I hate everything about that movie.
I did not like Signs. I thought it was, I mean, if you thought War of the Worlds had a bad premise with these aliens that die into like bacteria, here's a bunch of aliens that land on a planet that's 90%, you know, 80% water that die to water.
But see,
I guess it's supposed to be like an emergency landing or something, but still, no, I think
see,
I'd rather
what I liked about Signs was space. that's not what I liked about Signs though. I liked the fact that this was the first movie that I can remember that dealt with an alien invasion from just your average person's point of view. Not the government, not the scientists, not the cops, your average guy off the street. We'd never really seen a full-scale alien invasion from their perspective before. That was really unique. It was just handled dumb, random, but it was unique.
Random Midwesterners or something. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And it also had a couple legitimate goddamn jump scares.
Yeah, that's true. I know. I just couldn't get behind Signs. It just kind of. That's at the point where I really realized that M. Night Shyamalan probably not the best director on the planet.
No.
Number 9 is Wes Anderson.
Go, yes, overrated as hell.
Yeah, I don't like Wes Anderson.
I like his movies, but I understand that they are for a niche audience.
Yeah,
but it's, a lot
it's
of times
probably the only niche audience that I'm really part of.
And it's
you mean guys who write Fear is the Mind Killer in their homeless journals?
Yes.
I will admit, Life Aquatic is brilliant. That's the only Wes Anderson film I've ever liked.
I loved Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore and Bottle Rocket and The Jarling Limited and Moonrise Kingdom.
Did you hate any of them?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay.
No, see, me neither. I like all of his movies.
Life Aquatic was brilliant, and that just, it seemed atypical of him to make a movie that good.
But to be honest, if all the hipsters at the coffee shop with their decaf mochas and their skinny jeans made a movie, it would probably be Moonrise Kingdom.
I was just going to say, Wes Anderson kind of hipster-oriented.
I make no bones about that, though.
That's fine. It's not for me.
Number 8 is Joel and Ethan Coen.
Oh, the hell with you!
The only Coen Brothers movie I didn't think was that good was No Country for Old Men. And you're right. You're right. I hate Raising Arizona because the theme of the movie is reprehensible to me.
I think Raising Arizona is brilliant. I love Raising Arizona.
What is reprehensible about Raising Arizona?
He steals a baby.
Yeah, he
gives
does
him
steal
back.
A baby.
Steals a baby. Reprehensible.
Yeah, it's reprehensible, but you can't make the argument that the film encourages that.
I'm just saying the whole act. It's like, why would I watch like Serbian film? Why would I watch a movie that where he rapes a newborn? It's like yeah, the movie's not saying that's okay, but it doesn't mean I want to see it or try to enjoy it or try to get behind a character who does it. I can't stand Raising Arizona.
Well, I was just gonna say a Serbian film didn't have Nicolas Cage and John Goodman fighting in a trailer.
It also didn't have the Coens pretending that they were Sam Raimi while directing.
Totally.
I just don't like Raising Arizona. I like just about everything else. Even No Country for Old Men is okay. I don't like the decision to kill off what is essentially the protagonist off screen. that's a little weird. But the villain is pretty interesting and compelling, so I kind of forgive it for that.
I just really dug the symbolism in No Country for Old Men. I mean, Kevin, you at work the other day, you saw me reading that book.
Well, yeah, you're reading the religious work of the Coens or something.
Yeah, it was the Gospel According to the Coens. Like, it just picked apart all the religious subtext of all their movies, and there was a lot more going on in No Country for Old Men than
What's the religious context in the Hudsucker Proxy?
Deus Ex Machina.
Number 7 is George Lucas.
There you go.
Yay.
Good for you.
Kevin, I think you're the first one of us that's actually chartered a full point. Because mine was only a half.
Yeah, you just took down Josh's lead of a half a point.
This has not been a good day for us.
Number 6 is Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good idea.
Number 5, Zach Braff.
Garden is the terrible. Only...
What else has he directed?
I think that's it. I think that's the only one that he's directed.
Yeah, maybe he directed a couple episodes of Scrubs.
Hate Scrubs, too. I hate Zach Braff, so I guess I might be a little biased on this one.
I don't know. I have to see if he's directed anything besides Garden State.
Yeah, go to IMDb.
He directed 7 episodes of Scrubs, a TV movie called Nightlife, and Garden State.
Can you really call... I mean, Garden State is bad, but can you really call a director overrated for the one movie?
I don't think you could. I mean, nobody
should. You've got to make something else so we can compare it to something else.
Yeah, I mean, well, the last...
You might be a bad director.
The last list didn't even have John Hughes.
You're still pouting about that, aren't you?
That's just not right.
Well, then they followed up with another, like, what? Tucker Max.
I don't even know that one.
Did he direct I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell?
Yes, he did.
So he wrote the book. The book's one of the funniest things I've ever read. The movie is entertaining, but it's only the one story, the Austin road trip from the book. And the book has a lot of fun. Now, I will say this about the Austin road trip. I was reading that on the John. I almost killed myself laughing on the crapper because there's a scene where he has diarrhea and the way he describes it in a hotel lobby and this poor maid that's like following him around as he's running poop trailing down his leg.
If you think that's funny, and I'm not making fun of you, if you think that's funny, Choke by Chuck Palahniuk, the scene where he gets some anal beads stuck up his ass.
Oh, yes.
And he doesn't get to crap for like 9 days, and when the police are beating him up in an interrogation, they knock the anal beads out as well as all the backup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, officer.
Man overboard.
or that rape scene where that woman's acting out her rape fantasy. That is the funniest rape I have ever read.
Yes, because she's like, you have to do this way, and you have to... And she basically just explains consensual sex by pretending it's rape.
So do you want me to hit you with the knife? She goes, no, it's a knife. If you hit me with the knife, that's stabbing.
Yeah, so I'd recommend Choke by Chuck Palahniuk. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
but again, genius. Tucker Max, he's not a director. He writes humorous anecdotes in novel form. And B, he's done one movie.
Although I do admire a dude directing his own adaptation. That's not bad.
It wasn't a terrible adaptation either.
I've not seen the movie or read the book, but I like that just in and of itself.
Now, the next three on this list have made movies.
Good.
Plural. Number 3 is Mel Gibson.
No, I think as a director, I think Mel Gibson's actually really good.
He's got some pretension behind him, though.
Well, yeah, but Apocalypto is one of the most stunning-looking films I've ever seen.
Yeah, but is that because of Mel Gibson?
He directed it.
Kevin, I challenge you. Bad Boys 2 is one of the most stunning films I've ever seen as well.
Yes, and Michael Bay should be on this list.
True. I know. I think Apocalypto is good. I thought Braveheart was good. I didn't see Passion, so I guess I can't say anything about that.
Number 2 is Dennis Duggan or Dugan or.
No,
He does Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, exactly.
How is that overrated? He's hated, reviled.
I mean, the only thing he ever did that anyone ever liked was. Charlie, you remember he was Captain Freedom on Hill Street Blues, that insane superhero, that insane guy that thought he was from another planet?
Oh, yeah.
He was awesome on Hill Street Blues, and it's been downhill since the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, that's
what guys who are universally reviled on the list. It's like,
When Happy Gilmore is your best movie, I don't think you're really overrated.
No, those Adam Sandler movies have a fan base, because I told somebody the other day that I hated the movie Grown Ups, and they're like,
Grown Ups is fucking terrible.
They're like, what the hell is wrong with you? That movie's amazing.
That movie is pity inducing to anyone who has to sit through it.
Yeah, really stupid.
He's got Grown Ups 2 coming out this year.
Yeah, I know.
Just wonderful.
We're running out of time. Jesus.
Yes, the last director on this list is a pair. I'll let you guess.
It's Freeburg and Salter.
Oh, no. That is a shitty list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just awful. I mean, you're not overrated. It's like Kevin said, you're not overrated when everybody hates you.
But yes, everybody hates
somebody
them, but
has to like your movies in order to be overrated.
Yeah, I'm talking about people that have won Oscars that they don't deserve.
Like I pointed out when we were talking about these two guys the other day, Disaster Movie's the only one they made that lost money. Everything they've done, as terrible as it is, made a lot of money.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people as critically acclaimed, because we have people on this list who have made movies people like and then think these people are great directors when it's not the case.
Even
but
Michael
the
Bay
people
would
that
Tim Burton, for example. That's a good example.
Michael Bay. I liked The Rock a lot.
Yeah, I like The Rock. I know Jowski hates it.
Welcome to The Rock.
But
The Rock and Bad Boys 2 I like.
There are worse.
No, that was a terrible list though.
There are worse parodies than Freeburg and Seltzer's. At Redbox the other day, I saw some movie called 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Did you immediately rent that for a future anti-social? Because if you didn't, you fail.
No.
No, there's actually dudes that are sort of trying to out Freeburg and Seltzer. Like, there was another one. It was something spoofing Judd Apatow movies. It was like the 41-year-old virgin who knocked up Sarah Marshall and felt super bad about it.
I saw a review of that, and they said it's as bad as you think it is.
All I know is that Brian Callen, who is a very funny comedian, is in it and is awful in it. Okay, so I guess Kevin wins tonight's edition of the Top 10 List Game.
By a half a point.
One half.
By a margin of half a point, and I got completely shut out because a list of top directors of the 80s did not include John Hughes.
You're just
not letting it go.
Dude, let it go. Just let it go.
Not going to happen for at least like a month and a half. So we will come up with an actual topic, I assure you, next week. So come back.
We have one, actually. Jowski, what is it?
Yes, we are talking about overrated and underrated video games next week.
Okay, well, yes, that'll be a good show, and it'll not be on any sort of list ever. So, nope. There you go. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for the projection booth with Mike White. For Geek Juice Radio, this is Charlie McMullen.
Alex Jowski.
I'm Josh Hadley.
And I'm Tamira.
Oh, no, you didn't, Tamira.
I'm a sassy black woman. I don't need no man.
All right, catch us tomorrow on Montana.
On that note, I bid you a good evening.